is what we're going to see today as we take a look at Mark chapter 5. We're going to find a guy that is not in a landfill, but he's in a cemetery. And we're going to go from landfill harmonic to cemetery demonic. And on the back of your bulletin or your worship guide, there's an outline you can use this morning, and we'll kind of make our way through this passage together today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wholesome change you bring when you come into our lives. And each of us, Father, can remember a time that we might have been living in a landfill of sorts spiritually, that we were far from you. We were living our lives in such a way that, Father, we were not producing music for you. In fact, the song in our hearts was a song of selfishness and greed and desire that would be filled through our own means. But Father, you have come into our hearts and lives and brought great change through salvation. And may we experience that transformation today and be men and women that go and share with the fragmented of our world today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. In Mark chapter 5, we find these words. This is also found in Luke and Matthew, but we'll look at Mark chapter 5 this morning as we read the account of Jesus healing a man with a demon. The word says this, that they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. And no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out in a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I command, I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged Jesus earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came out to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion. He was sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. We see this morning a powerful transition and transformation that's happened in a man who was out of control. We see a man literally living in trash, a man that was very alienated from God, but yet in the midst of this encounter with Jesus, we see him restored to a new place of life and a new purpose for living. And this morning we're going to look at three different pictures. We're going to first of all look at the picture of sin's destruction. And then we're going to examine his salvation experience. And then we're going to look at his response to being redeemed as he went out and became a missionary. So we look first of all at sin's destruction. This man, we will call him Legion at this point, is living in a cemetery. He is uncontrollable. He is probably the person that everybody in town talked about as being one that everyone was in fear or afraid of. The Bible mentioned that he would inflict personal pain upon himself. And we know sometimes what the motivation of a person who cuts themselves is about. We know that there is a storm going on within them, and the cutting is an attempt to allow the pain to leave their body. So we see one that's ravaged inside by these demons that have become in control of his life. Now, we don't know how he became under such great influence of these demons. I would probably reason that it happened over a period of time. It's been well said that sin will fascinate for a season, but in the end, its goal is to assassinate our lives. And we see a man here in this picture whose sin has almost come to the point that it is assassinating who he is. And I would bid to you that this has taken place over a period of time. That's just merely my idea, but it certainly seems to be clear here that he had been in this condition for some period of time. We also see that as Jesus comes to him, he says, "Sir, what is your name?" No, trust me, nobody names their kid Legion. His name was not Legion. You know how when we were growing up, sometimes a person's character would, kind of define who they were? You might say, "That's old Don. That's old Slim Shady. That's old Slim Shady." My name wasn't Slim Shady, but people would call me Slim Shady, or that's old, Shady Grady, or whatever it might be. But over a period of time, sin had defined who this man had come to be. And over a period of time, if sin is left unchecked in our lives, it will define our character and it will define our personality. And that's what we see here as well. So it had begun to define him. And how can we see this? How do we know? What is the destination? What is the outcome of sin? And we see it in Legion's life. We see it in this man's life. First of all, sin leads to separation. There is separation when sin is in my life. The first example we have of this is in chapter 3 of Genesis. Right off the bat in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 3. We see God has created Adam and Eve. He's given them instruction to enjoy the garden, but there is a forbidden tree, forbidden fruit, of which they are not to partake of. We know that they choose to eat the forbidden fruit. And as a result of that, there's a consequence that's entered their lives and into the world called sin. And what happens after that? God comes into the garden. It's a beautiful place. And he said, he's coming to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. And he said, "Adam and Eve, where are you?" And they're hiding. They are ashamed. We are naked. We are covering ourselves. And at that point, we begin to see that there is separation because of sin from Adam and Eve, and it happens to us as well. In the New Testament, Paul writes these words, Romans 3:23. We all know them well. For the wages of sin is death. That death is spiritual, and that death comes to us even in our other areas of our lives that we're going to see as well. I think Paul also writes, and this helps me, in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says that the natural person, they do not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And men and women, if we don't have the Spirit of God within our lives, there is a disconnect between us and a holy God. And we see our sin has separated us, just as it has separated this man that we'll call Legion today. So the first area of separation is that we are separated from God. Secondly, Legion was separated from other people in relationship. Trust me, as he was living in the cemetery in those caves, that was not the best living community as well. It wasn't advertised, "We have 1 and 2 bedroom caves available for you. This is the new living area." No, if you lived in the cemetery or the cave, you were by yourself. He was helpless, he was hopeless, and he was homeless. He was homeless to the point of living in the cave. I bet you he couldn't get mail delivery or a UPS package delivered to that cave. He was by himself. He was isolated. He was far apart from God. And that's not only there while he was on earth, but last week, a few weeks ago in Sunday school, and Ethan, you can kind of keep me on point here, we looked at the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. They both died, and they inherited the eternal destiny by the choices that they made on earth, just like you and I will. That rich man went to the place of torment, a place of utter torment. And he looked and he saw Lazarus, who was poor in this world, in the bosom of Abraham. But the picture we see, even in the eternal destiny of the one who was in hell, the one who was apart from God, is that the rich man in hell was alone. And in being alone and being isolated, sin will isolate us today. Sin will isolate us from relationships tomorrow and in our eternal destiny as well. And we see one who is separated from relationships to other people, that he is lonely. Thirdly, we see that Legion was separated from himself. There was a personal pain that he experienced, a war from within. And that leads to my next point, that not only was there separation for himself, but there was this idea and this picture of self-destruction that he was encountering. You know, we know this well from John 10, but sin's goal is what? To steal? It's to kill and to destroy, and that it will take our lives. In fact, we see the self-destructive nature of sin in terms of what happened to these pigs that were on the hillside. And what happened to those pigs was sin's desire for Legion as well. Because we see those pigs, the demonic spirit was cast into them. And what did they do? They basically committed suicide, didn't they? They ran over that cliff, they ran over that hill, and they plunged themselves and were drowned in that lake. And we see this picture of what sin's destiny would be in our lives if it was allowed to go unchecked and unruled in our lives as well. And once again, we've talked about this, that this man was cutting himself. He was hurting so bad within, and he was actually a picture of self-destruction. But praise the Lord, Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up with the disciples, and they get out of this boat, this ship, and we see a tremendous life change about to happen in this man. Now, I will admit readily that a lot of the details of the salvation experience are absent in this account. I wish we saw this formula of, you know, Legion, you got to admit, believe, and forever receive. But we don't see that here, do we? But one thing we see a man whose life was changed, was radically changed. And we're going to look at that change that had happened. We see a man who was forgiven, who was redeemed, who had that evil cast out of him. And we can intuit that a conversation happened between Jesus and this man in terms of his understanding the nature of the salvation and the Savior he was looking at, because he certainly made Jesus the Lord of his life as a result of this encounter. We see a new man who has a new identity. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation, that the old has passed away and the new has come. And we see that clearly in this man with these demons, that the old has passed away and the new has come. I love the old hymn, or the hymn, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." It reminds me of this passage. It says this, that he, Jesus, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. His blood availed for you. His blood availed for this man who was possessed by this demon. So we see a man who goes from being worthless to a man of great worth, that his worth is now found in his identity in Jesus Christ and not upon the sin that had plagued him most of his life as well. We see salvation bringing a wholesome change. And in this man, we see demonstrated faith, obedience, and a desire to follow Jesus. So we see that he has truly been redeemed. How do we see this demonstrated? How do we see the power of salvation demonstrated? First of all, we see this change in him, that he is what the Bible calls, he's restored to his right mind. We see a man that was once living a life of chaos who now is experiencing peace. He's experiencing peace in all these areas at one time where sin had separated him. He's experiencing peace with God and Jesus through other people and also within himself. He is not yelling, but he's talking. He's sitting there. He's clothed. And we see a man who was dysfunctional who is now a disciple, now a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, how do we know that God brings renewal to our mind? You know, Romans 12 pictures this perfectly for us. Paul writes these, that we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in Legion, in this man, we see a renewal of his mind. Paul writes in Philippians 2:5, that we are to have this mind among us, which is also yours in Christ Jesus. And when we come to Jesus Christ, he renews our mind. He renews and changes our identity. And we have, and it's possible to have the mind of Christ, and we know that mind through the study of the Scripture, through the power of the Spirit, and through the fellowship we have with one another. So we see Legion is restored to his right mind. But also we see that Legion is reconciled to God and to himself. You know, his first reaction after this encounter was to be closer to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I'm in. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. What do you want me to do? Jesus, you want me to get in the seminary ship with the other guys and row the boat and hang out with you? You just tell me what you want me to do, and I'm in. So we see this guy who has been reconciled to God to the point that he's saying, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life now. I am leaving behind this life of sin and muck and mire, and I'm following you. And I desire, Father, to be reconciled through your power and through your Spirit. I want to be near you. I want to spend time with you. And I want to be made and mold into your image. So we see that he's reconciled to God and to himself. And also Legion, I'll kind of quickly hit this because it's our last point as well, that he is given a new reason for living. You know, Joel chapter 2 has these words, and we've heard these words often, but they're certainly true for this man. You know, God writes in Joel 2 that I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. And in this moment, God was restoring to this man the years that sin and the locust had eaten. And he was remade and renewed to go and to serve and to be on purpose for God. Our last point is this, that we see the principle here in life change as a principle of serving described. Listen to these words in verses 18 and 20. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him to be with him. But Jesus did not permit him, but said, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis, that's a 10-city area, how much Jesus had done for him. And this is the testimony. Everyone marveled. Jesus might have said, this is what I want you to go. I want you to go back and say to all your friends, I am the former maniac who is now a missionary. I'm the wild man who's now an evangelist. And listen to my story of what Jesus has done for me. And this is also, and we kind of lose this a bit, but I don't know how important it is, but this is Gentile territory. He's saying, you know, I want you to go to Gentile territory. This is sort of a territory that no one has been. You know, in North America, we have a sinned S-E-N-D, not S-I-N, ascend strategy to go and reach other cities and things. We saw it on our video. He was saying to this man, this is my send strategy for you. There are 10 cities where you're well known, sir. I want you to go and give testimony to the goodness of God, the power of salvation, and how they can experience forgiveness, restoral, and renewal just like you have. But I want you to go back to your friends. I'll check in with you later. I don't want you to get on the boat with us right now. I've got another strategy, another mission for you and your life. And we see a guy who was purposeless to having this great call upon his life to go and to share and to be a man about the business of our Lord. So we see today a picture of this guy who was fragmented, who was far apart from God, who in a moment, through an encounter with Jesus Christ, has come to know Him way to make Him His Lord, His Savior, and to follow His plan and mission for his life. You know, we started our journey in Keturah, and now our connection is, what do we do here in Crestwood? We looked at the Landfill Harmonic. We looked at the powerful mission of two men. And I will say this, that the one guy who is the band leader, the orchestra leader, his name is Fabio. You know, Fabio is a minister in his local church. Now, they didn't share this in the video, and I wish I could have connected with him somehow this week. But he's a music minister in this little local church. And if we were to watch a little bit longer of the testimony, you would see the concert hall is the church. And a lot of times in third world countries, you know, the church becomes sort of the community center of a lot of other things. But I pray and I hope that Fabio had such a heart for reaching people in his community that he used music as the avenue to share the gospel. Now, we're 5 weeks from Easter, men and women. 5 weeks from the most glorious resurrection experience and the best news ever. And you know, you may say, well, man, we don't live in the middle of a landfill or cemetery, but we live in the midst of a people who are fragmented. When I see things that happen on Wednesday, 15 miles from where another person shoots another person on Highway 71, I see the power, a picture, the deplorable picture of fragmentation in our society. You may say, well, there's nobody running around a cemetery in our community. That is as vile as anything we see in Scripture today. And there are people all around us today that need to hear the power of the gospel and to come to an encounter with Jesus Christ and to have a purpose for living that's greater than drugs, that's greater than some agenda that would just be selfish and self-serving. And may this Easter season we be committed to being people who are singing a song of Jesus in our community that makes this truly a landfill harmonic of sorts, where people that maybe bring their trash into this place, their spiritual trash, and they find renewal and worth and a new identity that only Christ can bring. And that's going to happen as you and I become this Fabio or Coli. Colo is sort of this junkyard genius, as I call him, making those instruments. And may God use the gifts He's given us and a burden and a passion to reach our community to make a difference where people can sing the song of the Lord as they come into this place and we see our community transform. I want to pray for us. I know we're running really tight, but thank you for being here this morning. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I just pray that of all things that were heard this morning, your word would be paramount and would be the greatest voice that was heard. And Father, thank you for the life change you brought to this man with a demon-possessed person. And Father, sometimes we disconnect ourselves when we see somebody who's so vile. But Father, you have broke the chains and you busted the prisoners free in our lives as well. And may we be honest and open. May we celebrate your grace and goodness. But Father, also share that message in our community this day and during this Easter season and beyond. For it's in your name we pray.